week, and I think this is a great, timely, very relevant series. Let's pray before we continue, okay? Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. Help me to preach this Word with power. Help it to be received by everyone here with faith. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to set us free to the truth of your Word today. In Jesus' holy name, may it make a powerful difference in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You know, it's for freedom that God has set us free, amen. Right? Yeah. So the Bible tells us, Galatians 5:1, so do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of the law of slavery. Amen? Right. It's for freedom. I said, freedom. Aren't you glad we have freedom in our land? We're moving into an era and a phase this fall, I believe, that's going to release greater freedom. Freedom that we need as people of God, as citizens of this great country called Canada. Amen? We fight for freedom. So part of the message is all about fighting for freedom today. So the series is called After Having Done Everything, To Stand. And so this week I'm going to talk about standing by using these things that God has given called the weapons of our warfare. You know, every week, every Monday, I like to start off by asking the Lord, now, within the series that we've got developed for the month, what do I preach? What should I preach on, Lord? And by Tuesday morning, I woke up with this song in my heart with these words, when I fight on my knees. Hands lifted up. I can't sing. I'm just going to say these words. When I fight on my knees. Hands lifted up. Oh, Lord, the battle belongs to you. I'm preaching on the weapons of warfare, particularly on the weapon of prayer. Okay? It's very difficult to imagine sometimes that in reality, we're living in a very hostile war, that we're living in a war zone. Listen, at every moment, everywhere, there are things happening that we cannot see with our natural eyes, but nonetheless, they are all too real. Yeah. And Paul makes reference to this right to what I just said there, right here in this scripture, Ephesians 6:10. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now we're saying this. Listen, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And without God's help, we will lose. Right? There's a force working in the world that does not want you to live for Jesus. There's a force working in this world that does not want you to minister, to reach out to other people in Jesus' name. There's a force in this world that does not want you to live out your purpose, to be salt and light, and that force will do anything that it can to stop you from doing it. Do you realize that? In order to fight and endure and overcome the spiritual battles that every single believer in Christ will face, listen, this is so necessary. You must have a relationship with God. You must. I must, you must. Here on your PowerPoint, it's prayer. Prayer is what makes our faith a relationship instead of a religion. And as a believer, as a pastor, I am concerned because I see people in church sometimes in the body of Christ, and I wondered, do they have a relationship with God? Is it a genuine relationship? Have you as a believer not just allowed Jesus to be your Savior? Is he Lord of your life? Is your life changing? Is there a growing awareness of sin? Are you pressing into God? Are you hungry to know him? You know, This is so vital, so important. The Bible tells us we're to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. How do we become strong? We become strong because our relationship, our connection to God needs to be strong. Amen? One of the biggest lies ever is that God only speaks to us through His Word. No, that he doesn't speak to people like He used to do in the Bible. God still speaks to us in this incredible thing called a relationship of prayer. Amen? Be strong in your relationship with God. Because in reality, this is a dark world, and there really is a devil. There's a devil. And the place where the devil is talked about more and personified more in the Bible is in one particular book called the Book of Job. The Book of Job. We learn more about the devil and how he operates in the Book of Job. If you study the Book of Job, you'll find out that it was written 400 years before Genesis was written. It's actually the original book of the Bible. Do you know that? 400 years before Genesis. And it was written in the oldest, most archaic Hebrew form of language. That's why they know it was written that long ago. 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. Now, you read the book of Job, and you realize that Job lost everything. He was inflicted with painful boils. He lost his family. He lost his possession. He lost all his wealth. And at the end of his prayer, he says these words, Job 1:21, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do you remember those words? Now, you read the book of Job. You study it. I can't remember how many chapters. It's a long book. But as you read it, as you study it, you realize, the Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. You realize, but that's not totally true. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. No, the Lord doesn't take. The Lord gives, the devil takes. The devil takes. What happened here is that all Job's hedges were down. The protection was gone, and it was open season on Job. He had no prayer protection over himself, his family's possessions. So the devil did a number on Job because he was defenseless. But you know what? You read the end of the story, Job never gave up, and you never blame God for it. So God, in the end, restored everything back to Job, doubled. But in between, he suffered great loss and pain, didn't he? Now I want to tell you, today, we have the very same adversary. We serve the Ancient of Days. His name is Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ. But there also is an ancient adversary, right? Since he's existed. Since he's created by God, but he exists today. We have the same adversary, but listen, God did not leave us defenseless. Because of what Jesus did, today we have powerful weapons of warfare. Incredible weapons, mighty weapons, like the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, like the blood of Jesus Christ. Like the Word of God, like the armor of God. We have Holy Spirit. We have thing called praise and worship. We have power. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We have mighty weapons. I believe the reason why so many Christians have so much fear in their life is because they don't think they have power. See, there's a lack of spiritual weapons operating in their life. And there's an ignorance about the use of these spiritual weapons. But listen, when you and I, as Christians, when we know what our spiritual weapons are, and we know how to use them, we will begin to experience breakthroughs and miracles. that we never experienced before. And we will begin to walk in a new sense of confidence throughout our life at all times. Amen? We have many spiritual weapons, but your greatest weapon of warfare is the weapon of prayer. Prayer is your greatest weapon. In fact, it is through prayer that you put on the armor of God and that you war. Our first, point number one, our first and greatest spiritual weapon is prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul said, and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. It's the greatest weapon of all weapons, and yet, for many Christians, it's the weakest. Prayerlessness in our lives is a serious problem. It's often a problem in my life, too, as well. You know, unfortunately, a lot of Christians just do not pray. But listen, I want to tell you, the devil cannot win the fight. He cannot win a battle against a Christian who knows how to pray. Do you know that? You know, the devil himself, he knows that a Christian who prays has a huge advantage over him. And that advantage is that he or she can actually pray to Almighty God while the devil can't. He's got no access to power like you and I have, right? He's very limited. And that's why Jesus tells us in Luke 18:7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting him off? You know, some Christians complain that after 5 minutes that they've got nothing to talk about. They've got nothing to pray about. But listen, there are certain problems in our life that take more than just a five-minute prayer. Do you agree with that? So the question is, what is this about prayer? What makes it such a powerful spiritual weapon? What is it about it? Here's why. On your PowerPoint, it's the weapon of persistent, what did I say? Persistent prayer that produces outstanding results. Now, I want to take you to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. Now, if you read about Daniel, you know that you realize that Daniel was a man of prayer. And the Bible says that every day Daniel would pray. He'd go up to his room, he'd open up his windows to the west, and he would pray and he would cry out to God every single day. But there's one occasion, he had this particular issue that he had to pray about it. And Daniel ended up praying for 21 days consecutively. And he would not stop praying until the answer came. But the answer wasn't coming. So he kept praying. He just kept on praying and praying. And then finally, after 21 days, an angel of the Lord shows up, comes up to him, touches him. And he says to Daniel, Daniel 10 verse 12, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the king of Persia. Another word, another name for the devil. It's talking about Satan. Now, I want to suggest to you this. If Daniel had stopped praying before the 21 days, that the angel of the Lord probably would not have had enough power to come to Daniel and give him the answers that he needed. Would you agree with that? This event in the Bible shows us that there are, we'll go to the next slide, three heavens. There's the first heaven, which is called the sky or the firmament, and in it are the sun, moon, the stars, etc. But there's a second heaven above the sky or firmament, and you know what that is? That's the place where evil spirits occupy. This is where the Bible says it's where the forces of evil in the heavenly realms and the high places exist, and it's the headquarters of principalities and powers of darkness. But there's another third heaven above that, and this is where the throne of God resides, and this will be our future destination. Amen. Now, when it comes to prayer, let me say this. Prayer becomes hard sometimes because prayers have to travel through the first and the second heaven in order to pass into the third heaven. And the evil spirits, the dark spirits of darkness, will do their absolute best to keep those prayers from getting to the third heaven. Amen? So we realize it. It's a struggle to get it there before the miracle happens. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Jesus said, "Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all his chosen ones who cry out to him for a few minutes? Day and night, he will pour out his spirit upon him. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up." Persistent prayer produces powerful results. Amen? Now let me tell you, when it comes to prayer, prayer can be divided into two groups, into two different groups. There's praying in the spirit, and then there's also praying with understanding. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 14:14. "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit also, I'll sing in words I understand." Now listen. When you're praying with understanding, that is with your mind, with your intellect, with your brain, with your intelligence, you're limited by your knowledge. In other words, you're limited by your knowledge, your vocabulary, because you can only pray to the extent which you are knowledgeable, right? So we can pray, you can pray, only pray to the extent of the words that you have, your vocabulary. But once you run out of words, your prayer stops, and then nothing happens. But if I pray in the Spirit, I can push my prayers through, past just my ordinary life. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I can push my prayers through the first, second, the third heaven, and I could get it right to the throne room of God. If I can pray in the Spirit, I have power to bring confusion into the camp of the enemy. Romans 8, 26, Paul said, "And Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." If you cannot pray in the Spirit, then you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why I'm saying we have a thing called Growth Track coming up. You need to sign up, because we have a specific lesson just talking right about Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues and how to get filled and released so that you have that heavenly language. Amen? So sign up. Sign up today. Okay, I'm not quite done yet. So now let's talk about another spiritual weapon that we're going to add to the weapon of prayer. Okay? Now we see it in this picture. We'll bring up the next slide. We see it in this picture, this Old Testament picture of an incredible event that happened in Exodus chapter 17. Now, in this chapter, I'll set the scene for it. Now, Israel, the people of Israel, have come out of Egypt, they pass through the Red Sea, they're traveling through the desert, and they encounter their first enemy, which is the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites are descendants of Esau. They are a murderous, vicious, nomadic band of people. They had a reputation of murdering and killing people for sport. And if you ran into the Amalekites, you were in trouble. Now, in this picture, we see that there are two battles going on. There's actually a battle that's happening underground where Joshua and his guy and his army, they're fighting the battle on the ground. Every battle requires an infantry. It requires a ground force to win the battle. But there's another battle taking place, and it's right on the mountaintop of praise and worship. Amen? And it involves three guys, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Right? Do we see that picture? Okay. Exodus 17, verse 10. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. And so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. This is a picture. See, I believe this is a picture of prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. Last point. Prayer and praise together is a formidable weapon of warfare. It becomes a deadly combo against the enemy. So when Moses, Aaron, and Ur started praising God as well as praying to God, to the God in the wilderness, they experienced a manifestation of God's power. As long as Moses lifted up his hands, Joshua and the army was prevailing. And we see in this story that the battle was won first on the mountaintop of prayer and praise. What was done in the spiritual realm manifested in the natural realm. Amen? Prayer is our prayer force. It's our air force. We need a prayer force and a ground force, but we need a prayer force in order to win the battle. Amen? And I'm going to point this out. We also see in this picture we see a picture of the power of unity in prayer, of just the two or three people together praying. Listen, when you go into a problem, you can pray on your own, but it's much more effective, Jesus said, when you just gather two or three people, like-minded people, even another person. Just get that person, that faith person that will agree with you in prayer. How powerful is that? So he tells us, I also tell you this, if two of you, just two, agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, guess what? I am there among them. God and you make a majority. All the demons of hell could come against you, but just you and God standing, wow, you will decimate them. Amen? Okay, in the book of Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles, we read the story about Paul and Silas in prison. Remember that story? And in that story, they have just been beaten up by the local religious authority. They're bruised, they're bloody, and they're sitting in this prison. And they were shackled and chained, but they were praying. But listen, If you read that story carefully, you'll realize that they kept praying, but they hit this time when they did something in the midnight hour. They combined their prayer with this incredible weapon called praise. And when they began to not only pray, but also praise, the chains broke off. The prison doors opened and the power of God showed up. Supernatural power of God. Acts 16:25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And all the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. I want to suggest to you, in their darkest hour, in the deepest part of that dungeon, in their deepest and greatest pain, they were praying and praising God. And let me suggest to you, it was chain breaking. It was lock busting. It was door blowing open type of praise and worship. It was fervent. It was sacrificial. And it was irresistible to God. God heard, God saw, and God came down with power. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, describes these things called the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Golden bowls, and we'll just go back to that picture. It's talking about angels holding these golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. That's your prayer, my prayer, right? My prayers. So, in other words, the prayers of God's people, collectively we fill these bowls, and when we do that, there comes, out of our prayers comes this sweet aroma that wafts up to God, much like the aroma that was released when the Old Testament priests would sacrifice offerings on the altar, the burnt offerings. And in Revelation chapter 8, we discover what these bowls are really used for. Revelation 8, 3 to 5. This is so powerful. I mean, this is the revelation, God, we need to get, saints. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. Now, I look for pictures to try to represent these, what happened here, but no artist rendering is ever going to justify the majesty and the might and the throne and the power of God. But before the throne of God is this altar. It's a golden altar. It's called the fire altar of God. It's full of fire, right? So the angel of the Lord, having a golden censer, stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with all the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, rumblings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So, the prayers of God's people here, he says, the prayers of God's people fill these golden bowls in heaven. So as these bowls are being filled with our prayers, they're also mingled with incense. And they create this incredible aroma, irresistible aroma to God. And as these bowls brim over, an angel takes a censer and he dips it into our prayers and incense. And then he goes and he fills it with fire, and he takes that censer and he just hurls it to the earth. And the earth is showered with the fire of God, which represents God's power and provision to change this earth. Your prayers, my prayers, are so powerful. we move heaven with prayers. We move earth with prayers. Amen? On your PowerPoint, the fire from the altar is the power of God released from heaven to change the earth. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Powerful scripture. James 5:16, Amplified Version. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or righteous woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. This is what happens when God's people pray. Amen? And I'm not talking about begging God, because begging God is not the same as believing God, right? Frank, I love the words of Franklin Jensen. Franklin Jensen, we saw him as a keynote speaker at a conference a couple years ago. He's a great author. He writes, he's a great understanding about prayer, and he's studied this thing and all this stuff that's happened that's happening in Revelations. And here's what Jensen Franklin said. What a marvelous image. When you pray, you are filling the golden bowls of heaven. In God's perfect timing, your bowls are mixed with the fire of God, his power, and cast back down to earth to change your situation. Even if you don't feel like anything is happening in the natural world, when you pray, you are filling the golden, you're filling the prayer bowls in the spirit realm. And when they are full, they will tilt and pour out answers to your prayers. Wow. Wow. You know, truly, I think we're guilty of not lingering long enough in prayer, right? And it's not about the words, how many words we pray. It's not the manner in which we pray. But as long as our prayers are heartfelt, faith-filled, authentic prayers, that's the prayers that God wants us to pray. Amen? And I believe with all my heart, this is the hour, this is the day where God's saying, I need my people to be fervent in prayer. I'm calling you to be the house of prayer for all nations, for the world, for your neighborhood. Amen? The calling of God is for the people of God to rise up in believing, faith-filled, authentic prayers. Amen? And every one of us can have a part in that. The earth needs us to be fervent in prayer. I'm convinced that what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah years ago in the Old Testament, God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah if there had been even 10 righteous people who were crying out for that city's deliverance. Amen? I don't believe that God would have done that. And I believe the same is for us today when we pray. God's people, if God's people will pray. Amen? And I believe that he's ready to tilt the prayer bowl. He's ready to tilt it. Amen? And he's ready to tilt it on this generation right now. So I'm going to tell you, be encouraged in your prayer. Be encouraged in your prayer life. Amen? Because the bowls are being filled and the fire of God is about to fall on this nation, in your situation. Every prayer night, every failure, the late great Adrian Rogers, the late great Baptist pastor, talked about failure in our lives as believers. And here's what he said. He said, you don't have a failure in your life, but what is a prayer failure? You don't have a sin in your life, but what prayer could have prevented that sin? You don't have a genuine need in your life that cannot be met through fervent, believing prayer. How we need to pray. How we need to pray. You look at Paul's strategy for prayer. It was very, very simple. Pray. All kinds of prayers. On all occasions. Everywhere. Pray for everyone. Right? On all occasions. So here, I'm going to leave you with this. A challenge. My challenge to you this week and my challenge to myself is to pray, is to make prayer your first resort. Make prayer your first resort. So, before you do anything, pray. Right? When you get up in the morning, even before you interact with your family, pray. God, just a quick prayer. God bless my family. Cover them with your precious blood. God bless them. God bless their day today. When you walk into your workplace, just a quick prayer. Lord, I pray that today, through my work, I will give you glory. And I will treat my workers with respect and dignity. Amen? So, before you make that phone call, pray. Before you connect with that client, pray. Before you get into that meeting with that person, pray. Pray! Right? In the traffic, pray! In every single stressful situation, pray! Right? Pray! In any event throughout the day, pray. Pray. With all kinds of requests, prayers, intercession, pray. That's my challenge to you today. This is literally the greatest weapon ever. You know why? Because not only are we, when we pray, we're not only submitted to God, we're connected to Him and His power. Amen? So pray. So remember, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise offering, a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. You did not leave us defenseless. You gave us spiritual power. You gave us yourself. You gave us Jesus. You gave us all these incredible weapons. Teach us, show us, equip us, Lord, in these days to stand strong for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to pray another prayer. Bow your heads. Father in heaven, we know that no matter how desperate our problem, that you are greater than our problem, and that we can call upon your name in an instant for your help. I pray for those who are struggling against what seems to be insurmountable and formidable odds. I pray for them. And I pray for strength for them to keep on asking, keep on believing, so that they receive their breakthrough, their healing, their opportunity, whatever it is, that they will keep on praying. And I believe, like you said, we will see the goodness of the Lord on the land of in the land of the living, this side of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Today you may be here, and maybe you kind of know about God, but you don't really know who Jesus is. You don't have a relationship with Him. And today, God's reaching out to you. He knew you the day that you were born. And He's waiting for you to come to Him and to surrender your life to Him so that He could give you this incredible thing called the gift of eternal life, a relationship with Him and heaven. And today, if you haven't done this, you need to repent. And you need to surrender your life to God. And you need to ask Him. All you need to do is ask Him. There's nothing else you need to do. Just believe in Him and just receive what He did for you on the cross. It's the gift of God. You could never, ever earn this in a million years. He did it all for you. So you never receive Christ into your heart. Will you do that this moment? Will you open up your heart? Will you surrender? Will you repent? Will you turn away from your old life and say, God, I'm done with it. I want you in my life. I want to live your way through your truth, your life. Amen? If that's you and you're watching online, you're here in person, I'm going to lead you into a prayer. Pray with me. After me, these words. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross to pay for all my sins. Please forgive me, Lord, for every sin that I have committed. Today and now, Lord Jesus, I surrender, I humbly come before you, and I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, I want you to raise your hand. If you're here, raise your hand. If you're watching, push that hand at the bottom near the bottom of that screen. We want to tell you that this is an incredible decision, but it's just the very beginning of an incredible relationship and life with Jesus Christ. Your future and your life are changed forever because of this prayer. So if you said that prayer, go to the welcome lounge. There's a light back there. Press the hand, and we want to connect someone that you can talk with. Amen? Amen. Say congratulations if you said that prayer. The greatest heaven resounds, they say. Like all heaven erupts, but just one person receives.